Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle show, where we talk about all the latest NFL news and action from around the league. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to talk a little bit about Ndamukong Suh again. I know you guys are all waiting to hear what happens with him. Is he going to retire? Is he going to sign somewhere? I have one hot take for you. Adding Ndamukong Suh would make a lot of sense for the Los Angeles Chargers. They can upgrade their defense by signing the best free agent available. Some teams have already started off-season workouts, but Ndamukong Suh is still unsigned. Maybe Suh is going the Michael Strahan route and trying to skip training camp. Some veterans do that later on in their careers to avoid burning out down the stretch of the season. Even the great Tom Brady has become less optimistic about OTAs. You can't blame these guys because they don't get very much time away from football. Eventually, Suh will have to make a decision about retiring or joining a team, and one fit could be the Los Angeles Chargers. After spending 2018 with the Rams, it makes sense because the former first-round pick has established a life in Southern California. The Chargers also could use another defensive tackle to help take the pressure off of Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Brandon Mebane and Justin Jones combined for only 1.5 sacks in 2018. And this defense is lacking a good interior rush that will help spill the play into Ingram and Bosa's laps. There's no doubt Ndamukong Suh can be that guy, and it will help Los Angeles get a step closer to winning the Super Bowl. Then once the draft rolls around, the Chargers can look for a middle linebacker who can control both the A-gaps and toughen this group up against the run. You know, someone like Alabama's Mack Wilson would fit perfectly in that role. And together with Suh, those two could help this ball club get past a regressing New England team. The edges are already taken care of, but it'll take Suh and Mack to counter Sony Michel in the Patriots running game. Michel had 129 yards when the Chargers lost to the future Super Bowl champions in the AFC divisional round. That's not going to cut it. And something has to change. And I believe that something should be Ndamukong Suh to the start. I think Ndamukong Suh right now is kind of pricing himself out of some of these jobs. I think he made like $14 million with the Los Angeles Rams last year. And you know his agent's asking probably around that same price for this 2019 season. And to me, a lot of these teams are, they're going to want to get Suh for under $10 million. They want to get him for $8, $9, $10 million tops, but they don't want to pay $13, $14 million for him because they do understand that his production is kind of declining. And while I don't think that's very fair because he did play in a 3-4 last year, and it's tougher to put up stats in a 3-4 when you're a lineman because you're getting double teamed a lot more often. To me, you know, Suh showed he can be very effective in the playoffs. Aaron Donald didn't even record a sack in the playoffs. Suh did pretty well. I think he had 1.5 sacks, but he was blowing plays up in the backfield, racking up TFLs, just showing that he still is an elite player. I know sometimes, you know, his stats don't always jump out at you, but what he does on the field, the intimidation factor, the plays he makes, sometimes taking on double teams and freeing up another guy to make a play, or maybe he doesn't actually tackle the ball carrier in the backfield. He lets him break away, but he slowed that running back down just enough so one of his teammates can come clean up the play for a TFL. It's that type of impact that sometimes, you know, we can't exactly measure that is being overlooked. Now, I still understand what these teams are trying to do because they're trying to keep costs down as much as they can as far as the salary cap goes. And they don't want to pay an arm and a leg for Ndamukong Suh, but they all want Suh on their roster because we saw it with Los Angeles. You get Suh, you get over the hump, you at least go to the Super Bowl. That's the impact he can have for you. So someone like the Chargers, who have Bosa and Ingram, who are probably up there with the best, pass rushing duos in the league, if not the best. If you put Sue right in between those guys, someone who can actually get some penetration from, the A and the B gaps, depending where he's lined up, now the quarterback has to spill outside the pocket, and that's when those rush ends who are flying upfield, tee off on the quarterback. That'll make the Chargers so much more dangerous. It'll help when, the Chargers go against New England in the playoffs again, if that's what ends up happening. You have to believe it will. And, Sony Michel, like I said, had 129 yards against Los Angeles in that win for New England in the AFC divisional round. It's tough to win when you can't stop the run. If you get Sue and you get Mac, you're going to be all right. And it's going to be an upgrade for that team. So we'll see. That's what I would do if I was the Chargers. I also said, a pretty similar story about the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos have Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. They should put Sue in the middle too, and then draft Ed Oliver. Chargers could use that same exact game plan. Sign Sue, draft Ed Oliver, because if you have four guys that can win now on every single snap with in terms of the rush, now you don't have to blitz as much. You can keep those extra guys you would use in a blitz, whether it's the fifth man or the sixth man, you can keep those guys in coverage. So that's always the key in football, being able to rush with four guys. Once you do that, everything just kind of falls in order defensively. The next topic I want to talk about, though, is five teams that had the worst off seasons, or the worst off season. Down on their luck, here are the five biggest losers of the offseason and why they're heading in the wrong direction. Baltimore lost the entire core of their defense when CJ Mosley, Za'Darius Smith, Terrell Suggs, and Eric Weddle all chose to leave in free agency. Weddle was actually cut. Offenses have a lot less to fear with those players gone, and that means Lamar Jackson will have to take on even more responsibility to keep this team in the hunt. The additions of Mark Ingram and Earl Thomas should help, but will it be enough? So, number five, Baltimore Ravens. They lose a bunch of guys on defense. They get Mark Ingram and Earl Thomas, but will it be enough? And because these teams are going to be scoring a lot more now that CJ Mosley, Za'Darius Smith, Terrell Suggs, and Eric Weddle are gone, that means Lamar Jackson will have to score more for the Ravens offense to keep up. It's not a good sign, and they definitely took a step back. Number four, Ndamukong Suh isn't coming back. This is Los Angeles, the Rams. Ndamukong Suh isn't coming back, and that will cause a lot of problems for Wade Phillips' defense. Los Angeles also lost Roger Saffold and John Sullivan on the offensive line, so Jared Goff won't have as much time to let plays develop downfield. The Rams did sign Clay Matthews and Eric Weddle to come in and give this team a boost, but neither guy had a good season in 2018. Keep in mind, Matthews and Weddle will be a year older too. So number four was the Los Angeles Rams. They had a bad offseason. They lost players, and the guys they brought in were older, so they essentially got older and less talented, so not good. Number three, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs will have to overcome a tough offseason if they hope to go on another deep playoff run. They lost Justin Houston and Dee Ford, which was their top two pass rushers this past season. When you also factor in that Tyreek Hill could have a suspension looming, it proves Kansas City is declining. Andy Reid is hoping that the addition of Tyrann Mathieu can minimize some of those problems. So they lose Justin Houston, they lose Dee Ford, Tyreek Hill gets into a little bit of trouble. They do sign the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. So they're hoping that Matthew can minimize some of those problems, but I don't think one guy can cover for losing two guys and one key player, and not just a key player, Tyreek Hill, who is perhaps the most explosive player in football. He could be in some trouble and miss some games too. So not good for Kansas City, especially when you have Patrick Mahomes. You probably should have tried to retain everybody. Probably shouldn't have changed too much and just tried to add to the system you already had. But they're going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and they lost their two best pass rushers. It's going to be a lot to overcome. Number two, the Houston Texans. The worst thing about the Houston Texans was how inactive they were. You know, they retained Jadeveon Clowney, but there were no additions that really stood out. Houston lost Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson, which will set them back quite a bit. They did add Bradley Roby and Matt Khalil, but they're losing ground in the AFC South. Houston just didn't do anything. They didn't maneuver. And if you're not getting better, you're getting worse in the NFL because teams are constantly improving and clawing and scratching to get ahead in the rat race in terms of climbing the NFL ladder and trying to be on the top of the mountain. Houston just seemed content with letting it, you know, pass them by. And Indianapolis was already starting to pass them up with Andrew Luck coming back. So, and plus, Indianapolis got Devin Funchess, so they got another receiver for Luck. So things could be even better. They actually got Justin Houston, too. So Indianapolis did much more than the Texans. The Texans are starting to fall behind. And number one, the team that had the worst offseason by far, and they look horrible, is the Miami Dolphins. You know, Miami had the worst offseason out of any team, and it's almost like they're okay with tanking. Ryan Tannehill, Danny Amendola, Josh Sutton, Frank Gore, and Juwan James are no longer with this team. That's a lot for the new coaching staff to overcome, and the Dolphins already had the 31st ranked offense in 2018. So they were pretty much dead last. There was only one team behind them in terms of offense. And then you take away Ryan Tannehill, Danny Amendola, Josh Sitton, Frank Gore, Juwan James. I think Brock Osweiler might be gone too. I'm not sure off the top of my head what happened with Osweiler. I haven't checked into it. I just thought of that off the top of my head. I didn't put it in the article. But that's a lot of pieces. You know, Sitton was a good player. Gore, you know, the ageless wonder Frank Gore, he always makes plays on the football field. Juwan James, offensive tackle. Danny Amendola, a wide receiver. Ryan Tannehill was the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season. Just not good. And when you're already pretty much the dead last team, you're only better than one team in the NFL. You're ranked 31st in the league and you lose all that talent. It doesn't matter how much of a defensive guru Brian Flores is, the Dolphins are in trouble, and it's unfortunate because Ryan Tannehill is going to mask some of those problems just because he's a different quarterback these days, and we saw it last year in Tampa Bay, but he can't overcome all that talent which was lost, and it's going to be a bad reflection of him. Ryan Fitzpatrick, because it's going to look like he's not doing his job when really the team's not talented enough. But that's all I have today. I got to wrap it up. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. I'm signing off. Have a great day. Go check out endzoneblog.com. Take care.